A very special day in the Vaishnava calendar. It's the appearance day of Shivas Thakur. So today we're going to speak about Shivas Thakur, and so we won't be so philosophical like yesterday and confusing everybody's minds with all these different terms, which probably no one remembers. Does anyone remember what Vivarta Vad means? No. All right, so I won't ask anybody. Next time I'll just tell stories. Anyway, Vivarta means illusion. Vad means like the understanding or the process like that. So there's Vivarta Vad, means the thinking that the Lord or the Absolute is an illusion. And there's Parinama Vad, which means thinking that the Lord becomes transformed. Everybody understands that? Just a little reiteration of yesterday's class. And there's also Shakti Parinam Vad, which means what? Which means Fiji? Yeah, it's probably an indication of Fiji, which means that the energy of the Lord becomes transformed. Which is what, that's our philosophy. Just remember that one thing. If you want to impress people, you say, we believe in Shakti Parinam Vad. You can actually defeat Mayavadis if you use these technical terms, because especially the Mayavadis here, they're not really astute in Sanskrit. You can just like bewilder their minds completely and win any argument. Anyway. So, let's get on to Shivas Thakur. So, Om Agana Timurandasha Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshavur Unmiditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, as you all of you know, we worship the Panchatattva. Panchatattva means the five truths. And those five truths are the Supreme Lord, His expansion, His incarnation, His energy, and the Jiva soul. So, to put that in plain language, that means Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Then you have the first expansion, Balaram Nityananda, who is the original spiritual master. Then you have Advaitacharya, who is Sadashiv, and also Mahavishnu. And then you have Gadadhar, who is Krishna's energy, Srimati Radharani, with a different bhav than Radharani. And then finally, you have Srivas, who is Narada Muni. So, it's interesting, whenever the Lord appears, He doesn't come alone. Just like Prabhupada would say, any important man, when he comes someplace, he comes with his bodyguards, his family, his associates, everybody comes together. So you see that. So in the same way, when the Lord appears, He comes with all these incarnations, expansions, associates, family, everything. So what Prabhupada would comment when they would make a picture of Krishna just floating up there. I know some of you have seen this picture. Krishna is floating up there in outer space with His flute. You've all seen that picture? There's a big om around Krishna. The Prabhupada said he didn't like that picture. Why? Because Krishna is not floating in outer space, playing his flute with a big om around him. He's with his friends. He plays his flute and the gopis and the trees and the powered boys, and everybody becomes enamored with Krishna's flute. So Narada Muni is a very important personality. In fact, he is one of the causes for the Lord's advent. In the Chaitanya Mangal, which was written by Lochan Das Thakur, Narada Muni's causing Lord Chaitanya to appear is mentioned. And I'll tell a little bit about that story. So, once Narada Muni was feeling very compassionate seeing the fallen condition of all the souls in Kali Yuga. So he went to Krishna in Dwarka to try to get some response. You know, what are you going to do about this, Krishna? So as he went to Krishna in Dwarka, he found Rukmini. She was crying because she understood that Krishna was going to appear on the earth and leave, and he was going to take the mood of Srimati Radharani. So then Krishna told Narada Muni that you should inform all the demigods and inform Balaram especially, Sankarshan, that to appear with me so I can be assisted in my pastimes. So Krishna was informing like that. And then also there's the beginning of the story of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's or the Chaitanya Mangal, which illustrates how Narada Muni, in one sense, was one of the causes for all the prasadam that's being distributed by the Krishna Consciousness Movement, and especially by Lord Jagannath. So that's an interesting story that bears telling. So Narada Muni, he wanted to eat Mahaprasad one time. So because this wasn't Kali Yuga, Mahaprasad wasn't available to everybody. It was very difficult to get. So what he did is he thought the person who has access to Mahaprasadam is Lakshmi. So he began to serve Lakshmi for many, many years. And then Lakshmi, after being served for many years, asked Narada Muni, "What do you want? Anything you want, I'll give you." And Narada Muni said, "I want some Mahaprasad." And Lakshmi said, "I have a problem here." Because the problem is that Lord Narayan told me not to give out any remnants. So she went before Lord Narayan. She was very morose, upset. And Lord Narayan said, "What's the problem?" And she said, "I have promised to Narada Muni to give Mahaprasad, but I also promised to you that I would follow your orders. What should I do?" Lord Narayan said, "Wait until I'm not looking and give the Mahaprasad to Narada Muni." It's interesting. So he gave her permission to disobey his instructions. So she went and gave the Mahaprasadam to Narada Muni. Narada Muni started dancing in ecstasy, having all this Mahaprasadam. Then what happened is that Lord Shiva, his brother, saw that he was dancing in ecstasy, asked him, "Why are you dancing in ecstasy?" And he said, "I got Mahaprasad." And Lord Shiva said, "Did you save any for me?" And Narada Muni was quite embarrassed, but he looked under his fingernail and he found a little bit of Mahaprasad left. And then he gave it to Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva started dancing in ecstasy. So much so that the whole universe was starting to get tilted and in danger. And so Parvati, that is Durga, she had to stop Lord Shiva from dancing. She said, "Stop," because she's the mother, the universal mother, and she didn't want the whole universe to be destroyed and all the living entities to be destroyed in the universe. And then Lord Shiva got angry. He said, "Why have you stopped my ecstasy?" She said, "I want to understand why you're feeling so ecstatic. Normally you don't exhibit so much ecstasy." And he said, "Because I got Mahaprasadam." And then she said, "Did you save any for me?" And he said, "No, you're not worthy of it." Those are fighting words if you tell your wife that she's not worthy of eating prasadam. So anyway, so and then she got really angry and she said, he also said, "You're Maya, you're the material energy." Maya means illusion, also means mercy, means energy. So then Lord Shiva said, "No, you can't have any. It's not your adhikar, it's not your right to have Mahaprasadam." She got so angry, she said, "My name is Vaishnavi, and I'm going to arrange for Lord Vishnu to appear." Lord Vishnu appeared, and Lord Vishnu said, "What do you want?" She said, "I want Mahaprasadam for everybody, all my children. Not only me, but all my children." That's us. We're Durga's children. And then as a result, it was predicted that Lord Chaitanya's movement would come, and Mahaprasadam would be distributed everywhere. Just like this morning we were walking in and we give Mahaprasadam to the dogs, isn't it? And the dogs are chanting Hare Krishna. Not really. I wish they were. But Lord Chaitanya had the dogs chanting Hare Krishna. We cannot do. He also had lions, tigers, and all sorts of creatures, deer, chanting Hare Krishna. So, any case, so you see Narada Muni's position or pastimes being part of the stimulation for the Supreme Personality of Godhead to appear. So, of course, Narada Muni appeared as Srivas Thakur, and he appeared in the village of Srihat with his brothers Sri Ram and Sripati and Sri Nidhi. And all these were actually, all these personalities were actually eternal associates of the Lord or of Narada Muni. Like Sri Ram was Parvata Muni. And Parvata Muni is one of Narada Muni's eternal associates. They travel together from time. They're friends. Of course, sometimes there's some other story which I'm not going to tell. They had an argument one time, but that's another issue. So Srivas Thakur was roughly the same. He was the same age as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's parents. So and his wife also, roughly the same age as Sachi Mata. And so what happened is that Srivas Thakur's and was friendly with Jagannath Mishra, and Sachi Mata was friendly with Malini, who was Srivas Thakur's wife. And Malini, Srivas Thakur's wife in Krishna's pastimes, was Ambika, who was Krishna's nurse. So you see all these different personalities from Braj, they appeared with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, in Kavi Karnapur's book, the Gaura Ganadesh Deepika, he explains who was who in each pastime. He says, for example, he explains that Srivas Thakur was Narada Muni. So it's a very interesting book because practically all of Lord Chaitanya's associates were some, they were people, or not people, but devotees, great personalities in Krishna's pastimes. Just like, of course, you have Ramananda Roy, who was Vishakha, also he's considered an incarnation of Arjuna. You have Swarup Damodar Goswami, who was Lalita. So all these personalities have their counterpart in Braj pastimes. Anyway, so Malini, the wife of Srivas Thakur, was caring for Sachi Mata when she was pregnant. Because they understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead would appear from the womb of Sachi Devi. Also, there's the story, of course, we told it the other day, not here, that Advaitacharya would worship the womb of Sachi Mata. He would actually put sandalwood pulp on her womb, and he would circumambulate her, bow down to her, and Sachi Mata didn't understand why Advaitacharya was doing this. So you see that Krishna arranged for his associates to prepare the grounds for his appearance. Excuse me. Later on, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu grew up, he did not exhibit the symptoms of being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nor did he exhibit the symptoms of being a great devotee of the Lord, at least publicly. In fact, he exhibited the symptoms of being a logician. That means someone who argues a lot, challenges people to debates, and basically harasses people. And so one of the things he did was to harass the devotees. He would challenge the devotees to debates, and he would defeat them. And the devotees were averse. That means they were against seeing and speaking to Nimai Pandit at that time. That was Lord Chaitanya's name when he was young. And so they would basically go to the opposite side of the street to avoid him. And there's an interesting statement by Srivas Thakur that is spoken by Vrindavan Das Thakur in the Chaitanya Bhagwat. So we got these primary sources, Chaitanya Mangal, Chaitanya Bhagwat, Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the Chaitanya Bhagavad and also the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you have a lot of this information based upon the Kadacha, that means the diary of Murari Gupta, who was present during the Navadvip pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anyway, so Shivas Thakur would go up to Lord Chaitanya. He would say, "Oh, crest jewel," that means the topmost, "crest jewel of the arrogant people." Arrogant means prideful. So he was saying, you prideful, you know, you're the most prideful person I've ever met. Don't you understand, or don't you know the purpose of life? Because the purpose of life is to become Krishna conscious. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was not manifesting that at that particular time. Excuse me. So he was not manifesting that at that particular time. So he responded by saying, "It's by your mercy I will understand." And so other devotees, of course, would pray to Krishna that Nimai Pandit would become a devotee, because he was so expert in argumentation that they knew he would be a great preacher when he grew up, or when, if he took up Krishna consciousness. Just like Garga Muni was telling me that there was one devotee who remained nameless who did best on the exam, the number one on the exam, right? And he said, "Why doesn't he preach? He should preach if he did so well." So anyway, of course, that devotee is not Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu nor Nimai Pandit. Yeah, we won't mention any names. So what happened is that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally took initiation, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was showing us the importance of accepting a guru, he did not manifest his pastimes of being a devotee of the Lord or being the Supreme Personality of Godhead until he took initiation from Ishwara Puri. Actually, you find a very similar story in the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur did not even use neck beads until he took initiation. It's interesting. Of course, we use neck beads because we're scared of the Yamadutas. You know, I always make sure I have neck beads on, because at any minute the Yamadutas may come to take me away. But anyway, Bhaktivinoda Thakur didn't even use japa beads or neck beads until he took initiation. Interesting. Showing the importance of approaching a spiritual master and taking initiation. Not that one can take Ritvik initiation from a previous acharya. So anyway, so Lord Chaitanya, when he took initiation, manifested his pastimes. What he did was that he called Srivas and he said, "Look, I am the person you have been worshipping." And he actually went into Srivas Thakur's house and sat on his altar. That was quite shocking for Srivas Thakur. Could you imagine if, you know, if I or anyone went into your house, instead of putting my deities on the altar, I just sat on your altar? It would be very shocking for you. So Srivas Thakur saw Lord Chaitanya do that. Not only did Lord Chaitanya do that, but he manifested four arms. And of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had most of his initial pastimes within the house of Srivas Thakur. It's called Srivas Angam. And that Srivas Angam, the house of Srivas Thakur, is basically almost right next to the Yoga Pith, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And then right next to that is a place called Advaita Bhavan. That is Advaitacharya's second house. His first house was in Shantipur, and then he moved closer to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to observe Lord Chaitanya's pastime, so that they all lived very, very close, you know, like 1 minute from each other, on the same road. Of course, now the road is called the Bhakti Siddhanta Marg, or path, and that was erected by the followers of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur under his direction. So there's many pastimes that occurred within the house of Srivas Thakur. In fact, There was a restriction that if you wanted to go to the kirtan in the house of Shivastakura, you had to be a pure devotee. I guess they had a pure devotee test at the door. You had to be an absolutely pure devotee, or else Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would get very upset. And there's some stories of that. But even those who were of a lower class in Shivastakura's house were accepted by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Such as Srivastakur had a tailor who was a meat eater. Can you imagine that? A meat eater. But because he was Srivastakur's tailor, that means someone who makes clothes, he got pure devotional service. And then there's the famous story of Narayani, who was the mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur. Of course, Narayani was only 4 years old. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being very affectionate to Narayani, this little four-year-old girl who was the niece of Srivastakura, he said to her once, chant and dance and be in ecstasy. So this little girl just immediately fainted, rolled on the ground, was chanting, Haribo, Haribo, Haribo. And then devotees say because of that mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, she was able to give birth to, not late, soon after that, you know, obviously. You know, when she got married, which is probably about 20 years later, she was able to give birth to Vrindavan Das Thakur, who was the author of the Chaitanya Bhagwat. And he's considered to be an incarnation of Srila Vyasadeva. That statement is made there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So, and then also, Srivastakura had a servant named Duki, a lady, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reinitiated her with the name Suki. Of course, Duki means unhappy, Suki means happy. So many pastimes occurred. Another famous pastime is one time when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was having his kirtan in the house of Srivastakura. Srivastakura's son passed away. And when that happened, of course, the ladies, they started crying. And Srivastakura noticed that. Of course, it was during Lord Chaitanya's kirtan. Srivastakura did not want to interfere with Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy. So he went to the back of the room and he said to the ladies, why are you crying? And the lady said, your son has died. And Srivastakura, instead of starting to cry or lamenting, he said to the ladies, you better shut up and not cry. Because if you interfere with the pastimes and the dance and the ecstasy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I will give you something to cry about. He was very heavy husband, you know, from Fiji. So I will give you something to cry about. And so the ladies just basically kept their eyes open and didn't cry. That reminds me also when Lakshman left with Lord Ram for the forest, he said to his wife, his wife's name was Urmila, he said to his wife, no crying. And so his poor wife, isn't it? His poor wife had to go, oh. You know, for all the years they were in exile. So this should be a rule that not, ladies are not allowed to, no, that's not practical. So anyway, so Srivastakura said to his wife and the ladies, no crying. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued his kirtan. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked at the end of kirtan, he said, I'm not experiencing the normal ecstasy. Something has happened in this house. And he said, what has happened? And Srivastakura said, nothing very significant, you know, just whatever. My son passed away, you know, in a very nonchalant way. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, why didn't you tell me? And Srivastakura said, I didn't want to disturb your ecstasy. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you have purchased me by this devotion. But where is the son or the body of the son? So he went into the back room. And there was Srivastakura's son. And he touched the son on the chest and he said, my dear, whatever the son's name was, why have you gone away? And then the son stood up, or sat up, and said, you know, it was time. Many, many lifetimes I have passed in this material world, but now I have gotten your darshan. So it's understood the son went back to home, back to Godhead. So now I've finally gotten your darshan, and it's time for me to go. And so he lay back down again, left his body, and went back to the spiritual world. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said something very interesting to Srivast Thakur at that point. He said, because you have not interfered with my kirtan, you have shown your devotion to me, and you've lost your son, therefore myself and Lord Nityananda will become your children. And so from that point forward, Lord Chaitanya, and especially Lord Nityananda, would act like the sons of Srivast Thakur. I mean, there's even some stories about Lord Nityananda, who is known as the Avadut. Avadut means like the wind, someone who doesn't have to like follow any rules and regulations. We don't want any Avaduts here. I won't mention. So we don't want anybody who's just like the wind, you know, you can never tell where he is, you know, what he's dressed like, torn dhotis, and, you know, hair all in disarray. We should actually be acting like perfect gentlemen and ladies so that people respect our movement. Otherwise, if we look like the bums in the street, people will think that about our movement. So anyway, Lord Nityananda was an Avaduta. So he not only accepted Srivast Thakur and Malini as his mother and father, but he would go over to their house and he would take prasadam by sitting on the lap of Malini. Remember, he was a full-grown man, like, you know, over 2 meters high. And Malini was an old lady, too. And he would sit there and he'd drink her breast milk. Can you imagine somebody coming over your house and sitting in your wife's lap? You know, Hare Krishna. So, but this is Lord Nityananda. He could do anything. There's another story with Lord Nityananda with Malini, with Srivast Thakur's wife, is that once upon a time, a crow stole the ghee pot that Srivast Thakur had. Srivast Thakur wasn't there, but Malini saw that a crow stole the ghee pot, and she was very nervous because Srivast Thakur was known to have a temper. You know, temper means could get angry. So what happened is that she was getting nervous and Lord Nityananda was there, and Lord Nityananda said, what is the problem? And then as a result of that, Lord Nityananda was told what the problem was, and Lord Nityananda said to the crow, hey crow, come back here. Bring the ghee pot back. So the crow flew back, brought the ghee pot, and Malini was satisfied at that particular point. Srivast Thakur also, being like Narada Muni, even though he was married in this particular pastime, he never worked. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was worried about him. You know, naturally you go to someone's house and you say, you know, how's the job? And then you say, well, I don't work. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, then what do you do to maintain your family? And Srivast Thakur said, I have this 1-2-3 technique that if Krishna makes me fast for 3 days, I will tie a water pot to myself and drown myself in the Ganges. In other words, he was threatening Krishna. Actually, I had one disciple who said that if Krishna doesn't get me a husband, I'm not going to feed my deities anymore. Well, I said to her, it's not going to work like that. You're not Srivast Thakur. You're not going to find a husband, or you'll find a husband that's like 95 years old. So, anyway. So, if you want to find a husband, you have to serve Krishna. not threaten Krishna. So, anyway, so Srivas Thakur was told by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that point that even if the goddess of fortune has to go begging, that's Lakshmi has to go begging, still you'll have enough to eat and you'll have everything you need. That's a nice guarantee. No. So Srivas Thakur was very happy to hear that. Other stories, you know, many, many stories we have, is that once upon a time, Devananda Pandit, who was a great scholar in the Srimad Bhagavatam, was giving a Bhagavatam class, and as Srivas Thakur walked by the Bhagavatam class, Srivas Thakur was in so much ecstasy hearing the Bhagavatam being recited, he fell to the ground, exhibited symptoms of ecstasy, and Devananda Pandit's disciples threw Srivas Thakur out. And because of that offense, Devananda Pandit lost his ability to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would walk by Devananda Pandit's Bhagavatam class, he would say, he doesn't understand a damn thing. And so Devananda Pandit later on served one of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees, Vrakeshwar Pandit, to protect Vrakeshwar Pandit when he was dancing, because Vrakeshwar Pandit would dance for 72 hours sometimes without stopping. And then Lord Chaitanya said, if you want my mercy, you have to approach Srivas Thakur. So he approached Srivas Thakur, and he got the mercy. Srivas Thakur forgave him, and he became one of the great devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Also, as I mentioned previously, people who were not pure devotees were not allowed in the Shiva Sangam when the kirtan was going on. So what happened is, there was one Brahmin who was very, very envious of Srivas Thakur because he wasn't allowed in. So he thought, I want to make it seem that Srivas Thakur is worshipping Durga instead of Krishna. So he put the ingredients for Durga, like vermilion and other things, outside the door. So people would see all these ingredients in the morning. This is sometimes, like in the modern world, like the police will put marijuana in someone's house when they want to arrest them. I don't know if they do that here, but sometimes they do that in other countries. So there, when Srivas Thakur woke up, he just very humbly said, oh, okay, everybody sees him worshipping Durga, which he wasn't. And this Gopal Chapala who did this, he immediately got leprosy because of offending Srivas Thakur. And then Gopal Chapala went to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, please forgive me. You're the most munificent Supreme Personality of Godhead. Namo Mahavidanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I curse you. Not only do I not forgive you, I curse you to be bitten by these worms for millions of years. So you see, if you offended a devotee, you can't get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So later on, of course, Gopal Chapla approached Srivas Thakur and he got he got the forgiveness of Srivas Thakur and he became a great devotee too. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted sometimes to test Srivas Thakur's faith, especially faith in Lord Nityananda. Because Lord Nityananda, as I mentioned before, was so unusual that, you know, it was hard to believe he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, sometimes he would be chanting and he'd throw off all of his clothes and he'd just dance naked. And sometimes Lord Nityananda, even though he was supposed to be in the renounced order, he had jewelry up and down his arms. And then eventually Lord Nityananda got married as an avaduta. I mean, really hard if I saw someone like that here for me to believe that he was a good devotee, wouldn't it? Impossible. I wouldn't believe it. But Lord Chaitanya tested Srivas Thakur. He said, how can you associate with this Lord Nityananda? This avaduta, you know, who knows what his background is, how contaminated he is. And then Srivas Thakur said, even if I see Lord Nityananda go into a liquor store, or even if I see Lord Nityananda marry a Muslim girl, I will not be dissuaded from my conviction that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, other stories, I mean, there's so many nice stories about Srivastava Thakur. Srivastava Thakur, as I mentioned, he wouldn't allow non-devotees or people who weren't pure devotees into his kirtan with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So one time, Srivastava Thakur's mother-in-law snuck in. And she was hiding behind the curtains. And Lord Chaitanya was having his kirtan. And Lord Chaitanya said, I'm not experiencing ecstasy like I normally experience in the kirtan. What's happening? Someone must be here who's not a pure devotee. And they looked all around and they found Srivastava Thakur's mother-in-law hiding inside or underneath the curtain, and Srivastava Thakur took her and just threw her out the door. Nothing against mother-in-laws. Sometimes mother-in-laws are pure devotees. But it's a fact, actually, we're supposed to worship Krishna with the devotees, not with people who are envious of Krishna. That's very important because it can spoil things. Or even when you're eating prasadam, if someone who is envious looks at your prasadam, it can have poisonous effects. So you have to be very careful who you eat prasadam with or honor prasadam with. So Srivastava Thakur was showing that. Another time, Srivastava Thakur let someone in who he thought was very pure, because this Brahmin was living only by drinking milk. And Lord Chaitanya had the same response, my kirtan is not giving me ecstasy. Someone must be here who is not qualified. And Srivastava Thakur said, well, there's only this Brahmin, but he's pure. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you don't get pure just by executing austerities, just by drinking milk. That is not a qualification. So the Brahmin felt very remorseful, begged forgiveness from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then he became a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these are some of the stories of Srivastava Thakur, who is Narada Muni, and today we are remembering his appearance and worshipping him as a member of the Panchatattva. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda. Okay? So any questions or comments? Today was just stories, so easy to understand. No, very little philosophy. Questions, comments? Gargamuni? Srivastava Thakur had a temper, yeah. Yeah, but this is actually a pastime. When the Lord or his devotees exhibit a temper, even Krishna has a temper too. I mean, Krishna kills people with his sudas and chakra disc. Oh, he waited a while to kill Shishupal, but, you know, he did eventually. So this is actually to show that the Lord and his devotees are not without emotions, first of all. But it wasn't like uncontrolled anger like we experience in this material world. And these are pastimes, Srivastava Thakur having a temper. I mean, even reading about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's one story in the Chaitanya Bhagavat where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Sachi Mata for some ingredients for his worship. And what happens is that Sachi Mata says, just in a few minutes I'll get it for you. And Lord Chaitanya gets so angry he destroys everything in the house. You ever read that story before? He just smashes all the pots and all the storehouse of grain and everything in the house. You know, you will get it in a minute? No! You know. So what happens is that, and Sachi Mata after the whole thing, and then he falls to the ground unconscious, like someone throwing a fit. And then Sachi Mata says to him afterwards, don't you understand all this is meant for your pleasure? So then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes to the Ganges to bathe, and he comes back with a big pile of gold. And Sachi Mata can't understand, you know, where has he gotten this gold from? So these different things are meant to draw out different bhavs or moods between the devotees. When there's anger, it's not to be equated with, let's say, you know, if I get angry because I don't get my Daruka or something like that, it's not because, like, you know, if I get angry, maybe because I lost control of my senses. But these devotees, they're actually trying to bring out different moods of loving exchange between each other. And the Lord enjoys anger. I mean, why would Krishna appear as Lord Varaha, Lord Nrsingadev? Lord Nrsingadev was so angry. There's another example. That nobody could stop him. Even Lord Shiva was fearful of him. Lakshmi was fearful of him. It took Prahlad Maharaj to pacify him. So, you know, it appeared like it was uncontrolled anger. But these are pastimes meant to actually attract people to understand the Lord has different feelings. The devotees have different feelings. But it's not for sense gratification. None of the exhibitions of anger or any of these emotions that we may term to be negative are exhibited or manifested or caused by the desire to please the senses with the devotees. They're all coming from the desire to engage in loving exchanges with Krishna. Or, in the case of the spiritual master who may chastise, to train up the disciples. Like some of you initiated by Srila Gurudev understand, he would chastise, right? And there's a famous story. He came to Fiji and he was chastising one of the devotees who came from America with him and said, "You're treating the devotees too heavy." And he said, "You don't know how to train these people." And so, yeah, it was necessary. And because I'm not yelling, everybody's running around like, isn't it? Because I'm not yelling at everybody, then it's like havoc, you know, it's just like anarchy here. Like one time I was giving class and I did yell, and Vishnu said, "Well, that was fantastic. You should give a class like that. You remember that? You should speak like that all the time." And I said, "If I did that, I'd have a heart attack every day." So, you know, chastising is necessary. But spare the rod, spoil the child, you know. So, not that we hit people, but there has to be a little bit of training. There's a little training like that. So anyway, but with the Lord and his devotees, it's part of a rasika or exchange, you know, of mellows. With us, it's something different. Don't get angry and say, "This is my pastime." You know, don't get lusty and think, "This is my pastime. Krishna danced with the gopis, and I'm entitled to have my own gopis," or whatever. You know, I mean, I know some men that call their wife Radharani, and that's not an initiated name. You know, it's just not like that. Don't try to project the spiritual realm upon the material realm. It just doesn't work like that. So we don't understand. In other words, another point is you really can't understand what's happening in the mind of a pure devotee. Don't think he's thinking the same thing I would think if I was in the same situation. It ain't like that. There's something else happening that's beyond our ability to understand. So on that happy note, we'll offer our obeisances to Srila Prabhupada.